I want to read from the book of Judges, chapter 16, and we want to begin reading at verse number 16. I'm going to break into the story, and it is a story that most likely, by the way, it's so good to see Elder Bass in service tonight. Happy he's with us. Thank God. Love and appreciate him so very much. Thank God. Judges 16, this is a story that's most familiar to probably most of us tonight, but I have felt the burden of this message for a number of days and also have been looking at this for a period of time even, but just really felt the burden for this service tonight. And I want to talk to you about some things that I see here that I've not yet really noted in the past. Verse number 16, this is right in the midst of his time with Delilah, who was pressing him, tempting him, trying him with regards to where his real strength lay. So if you look at verse 16, it said, "It came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there has not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the Lord to the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Amen. I want the Lord to talk to us tonight in this service. I want God to help somebody in this place. I feel quite confident that with what I'm observing in the Spirit take place in this congregation, that God is moving us towards some very great things that He wants to do. However, I believe that as he moves the church in that direction, the will of God is that nobody be left behind. And so the Lord is putting forth an effort to try to reach some that might be teetering on the brink. They may be in a position where that they need a stirring up and a renewing and a restoration in their heart, so that when the church is moving in that place that the Lord would have us move in, that no one is being left behind. I don't want anybody left behind. I want everybody being able to enjoy what God is doing and going to do in this place. Would you ask the Lord to help us in the name of Jesus? Talk to us in this service tonight. Let the power of your Spirit be upon us. Let your anointing rest upon our minds and our hearts. Let your word, I pray, speak to our soul and our spirit. Let there be a manifestation of your power. Let there be tonight a breaking and a destroying of the yokes. Oh, God, break the bands that bind tonight. Give us deliverance in this house. Set somebody free in this place tonight. Restore and renew somebody in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to, tonight, for a few minutes, I'm going to direct your attention to the words of Samson to Delilah. He said, "I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb." He said, "But if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me." And here's what he said, "I shall become weak and be like any other man." Amen. I want to talk tonight about just being like any other man. Be like any other man. Amen. He made a statement here in this verse, he said to Delilah, he said, I have been a Nazarite unto God. I have been a Nazarite unto God. I think it is evident by those words that Samson understood what he had been throughout the course of his life. He was a Nazarite. Now, when you study Scripture, you can go back to the book of Numbers, and you learn what the vow of a Nazarite was. And as you read it, you realize that there were some things that a Nazarite had to commit themselves to. They had to take a vow. Now, what the Nazarite vow was in reality a vow of separation unto God. It was a vow of separation unto God. When a man took the vow of being a Nazarite, he was simply saying, I am going to commit myself in separation. I am going to be a man who is going to live separate and apart from everybody else. I'm going to be wholly devoted to the Lord. Now, if you will work with me tonight, church, I believe the convicting power of the Holy Ghost is going to do a work here tonight. And somebody, I believe, if they get a hold of this, is going to come out of where they are. And God's going to give some victory in the house tonight. But I don't want to be in a hurry and I don't want to rush it. Amen. Although I don't intend to preach very long, I just have this message. But give me a few moments to help you understand where Samson was. Samson was a man that understood his Nazarite vow. He understood what he was ordained for. He was to be separated unto the Lord. He was to live a life of separation. When you look at the vow of the Nazarite, he had to abstain from wine and strong drink. He could not drink vinegar made from wine or from other fermented drink. A Nazarite could not even drink grape juice or eat grapes or even raisins. The Bible tells us in Numbers that he could not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, not even the seeds or even the skins of any fruit of the vine. He was to remain totally separated from that. There was another commitment. There was another consecration that he had to make. And that was that no razor could be used on his head during his entire vow. Now, I understand that there are those that would look at that and ask the question, why would that be the case, seeing that according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that long hair on a man by nature is wrong. Amen. Why would it be required that a man would not allow a razor to come on his head during the time of his Nazarite vow? You see, a Nazarite vow could be a vow for a lifetime, or the Nazarite vow could be for a 3-month period, or for a 6-month, or a 1-year period. It could be during a given period of time that an individual would take the Nazarite vow and they would abide by that. My answer to you tonight is, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I will tell you that that which would be a shame unto a man when that man was making that vow to God, what he was saying in essence is, I know that this is a shame unto a man, but I am living a vow unto the Lord. And whatever would be a shame to me, then I am making that consecration and that commitment to the Lord of glory. And I will abide by the vow that has been established in the Word of God. I don't know all the reasons and the whys and the wherefores, and I'm not going to pretend that I know. But I believe I can tell you tonight that when that man made that vow to God, he was willing to do whatever it took to fulfill that time of consecration and that time of devotion to the Lord. And somebody say amen. Amen. Another thing that a Nazarite was not able to do, he could not go near a dead body. He could not touch a dead body. The Bible said that even if it was his own father or his mother or his brother or his sister that died, he could not make himself unclean even for them. What is all of this telling us? It is telling us that whenever a person took the Nazarite vow, that he was making a commitment to a level of consecration that was higher than everybody else that was around them. Amen. I'm struggling with my voice. Pray for me for a few moments, if you will. I want the Holy Ghost to help us in preaching this message here tonight. In the name of Jesus, everybody worship the Lord for a few moments. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think the enemy knows he can read. He knows some things I'm going to talk about for a few minutes tonight. And he'd probably rather that I not preach this message in this service. He'd probably rather that there not be some people to hear what I have to say in this place tonight. But I want you to know that there was a Nazarite vow of separation unto God that a man would put himself in the position that he would be very, very careful as to how he lived. Very careful as to how he could conduct himself. He could not drink anything unless he was assured that it had not come from the vine, that it was not related to the grape in any form or fashion. He could not go into a house unless he was assured that there was no dead body in that house. He could not go any place unless he felt an assurance that wherever he was and whatever he did, that it would not violate his vow of separation. He was a man that did not want to be made unclean. He was a man that did not want to lose his devotion and his consecration and his dedication unto the Lord. Can I tell you tonight, church, that the essential spirit of Nazaritism, amen, that is total consecration to God and God's highest standards, is a demand that is placed on a believer in the church of today. I have to tell you that the Nazarite of the Old Testament is an example of a New Testament saint of God. It is somebody that decides, I am going to devote myself. I am going to commit myself. I am going to consecrate my life to God. I accept the fact that I have to be separated. I accept the fact that I've got to live different than everybody else. I accept the fact that I'm not going to be like any other man. I accept the fact that I'm going to be holy, that I'm going to be righteous, that I'm going to be separated from the world and the things of the world. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And throughout the course of Samson's life, Samson lived this vow. Samson was under the vow of separation unto the Lord, living as that one that was following and being directed and guided by those things that governed separation. Amen. But it came to a place in his life that it began to be pressed. Where does your strength lie? Where does your strength lie? And so, Delilah He and Delilah were together. And she pressed him. And he started talking about things and saying, if you would tie me with 7 green withs, then he said, I will be weak and I will be as another man. Of course, we know they tied him up and he broke those green withs, as the Bible calls them, green strands of whatever they were that they wrapped him up with. He broke them and was delivered from the bondage of them. And then she came back and pressed him again. And the Bible said that he told her, if you will bind me with new ropes that have never been occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. And so she bound him with new ropes. And then again, when she cried out, the Philistines be upon you, then Samson broke those ropes as though they were nothing. And then again she pressed him. And he said, I'll tell you, if you will weave the 7 locks of my head with the web, then again he let her know that if you'll do that, I'll become weak. And she did it. But that didn't stop him. And that did not stop his strength. But then we get to the verses of scripture that I read here tonight. And the Bible said in verse number 17 that he told her all his heart. He opened up and he started telling her everything. And he said to her, he said, I have been a Nazarite from my mother's womb. And he said, there has never been a razor upon my head. And he said, if I be shaven, he said, then I shall become weak. He said, my strength will go from me, and I will be like any other man. But tell you what bothers me about this story tonight, and what concerns me, and what I sense in the spirit in this house tonight. And that is, was it possible, and I believe it was, that Samson had grown tired of his consecration? He had grown tired of his devotion. He had grown weary with what it took to maintain his separation and his vow of separation. You see, we read in the verses of scripture that there were times that they had great feasts. And in those great feasts sometimes there were things that went on that were not totally holy and right and godly. And yet in the midst of all of that, the demand was upon Samson to maintain his separation, to not drink anything he ought not to drink, and to live and act in any way he ought not to act. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Was it possible that Samson had begun to entertain in his mind, his thought, he was thinking as he paraded among others and as he fellowshiped and communicated with others, that there was something inside of Samson, a secret desire that said, I wish I were like other men. I wish I were weak like they are. I wish I didn't have to do all of this business of separation. I wish I didn't have to have this vow upon me that I couldn't drink certain things. I wish I didn't have to have this vow. I wish I didn't have to live by this. I wish I was just like everybody else. I wish I could party like they party. I wish I could go the places they go. I would that I could do the things that they do. I'm a little tired of all of what it takes to be a vessel that is devoted to God. I'm a little tired of having to be every day careful about what I do, and careful about where I go, and careful about what I'm talking to somebody in the Holy Ghost here tonight. I believe it with all of my heart. I have no doubt in my mind that the Spirit of God has ordained, amen, that I come to this pulpit and reach right down in the heart to somebody that's in this house, and you've been out there among the world, you've been going to school with them, and you've been working on the job with them, and you've been looking at the way they live, and you've been thinking, I'm a little tired of this holiness vessel.
business. I'm a little tired of being careful and having to watch my step and what I say and where I go and what I do. I'll tell you what's happened. In your heart, you've been thinking, I wish I could just be like them. I wish I could just do what they do and live the way they live and go out and have a big time. I'm going to tell you, son of God, there's no desire in my heart. Oh, God, if there's anything that I desire, the last thing is to be like other men. I don't know how you feel tonight, but my mind is made up. I'll pay the price. I'll do what's necessary. I don't want to be like everybody else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Why did Samson say to Delilah, Delilah, I'll be like other men, if he had not already been comparing what he was to what they were? If he had not already measured what he was to what they were. Well, I want the Holy Ghost to help us here tonight. Come on, let's bust something open in this house tonight. Let's break through something in this place here tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, you can start harboring. You can walk down to the clothes section of the department store and begin to look at different types of apparel that are far less than godly and holy and say, you know, if I wasn't in the church, then I could buy that and I could wear that. Or, oh, hallelujah. Or you could be driving down the road and find Blockbusters or wherever it is that you can go and say, you know what, if I went in the church and had the pastor I have, I could go rent me some DVDs and sit back and have a good time and not feel condemned. Oh, come on now. Let me tell you what the problem is. The problem is you're looking at the wrong people. You're looking at the wrong situations. I'm going to tell you, friend, you can choose that right if you want to, but you're going to find out like Samson did. It'll put your eyes out. It'll blind you. It'll bind you. And you'll find yourself grinding at the mills of the world and the sin that you've embraced in your life. What do you want to be tonight? Do you want to be like others? Who smoke and cuss and do drugs and commit adultery and fornication and sin, grievous sins. Is that what you want? You want to be like other men? Come on now. Hey man, you can harbor in your heart that secret desire. I believe that's what happened to Samson. I believe what happened to Samson is he got tired of his consecration. He got tired of the price that he had to pay. He got tired of what he had to go through in order to be a Nazarite. He got tired of having to check out everything he was drinking and everything he was eating. He got tired of having to make sure that where I am is not a good place or a good place to be. He got weary with all of that. And he decided, you know what? If I was like everybody else, I wouldn't have to worry about all of this. It wouldn't bother me. I could do what I wanted to. But you see, friend, you don't come into this place in God and walk out on this place in God and just be a good little sinner. I'm going to tell you, glory to God, sin will take you further than what you ever dreamed you would go. It'll keep you longer than you ever dreamed you would stay. Come on, Holy Ghost trying to help somebody. Holy Ghost trying to get somebody to quit looking the wrong direction. Holy Ghost trying to get somebody in this house to make up your mind. I'm going a different direction. I'm going to make up my mind to do what's right. Brother Tommy Morgan made some tremendous points about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They could have been just like everybody else that was bowing down and saying, oh yeah, I'll bow down to your music and I'll bow down to your idol. I'll bow down. I'll do it just like everybody else is doing. But you see, you go all the way back to Daniel chapter 1 and you find the secret. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or the king's drink. He decided, I might be in Babylon, but Babylon's not going to get in me. And you got to make up in your mind that you're living in this world tonight, but this world is not going to live inside of you. Come on, the Holy Ghost wants to help somebody in this place. Come on now, come on now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I didn't have a mama like I had, I wouldn't have to go to church. Amen. If I wouldn't have to go to church. I wouldn't have to sit on the pews. Oh yeah, I'll tell you what the problem is. You're entertaining in your heart. You want to be like everybody else. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. You want to go be like everybody else? Let me tell you what the end result of that is. The end result of that is that sin will drag you through muck and mire. I don't care. You can think tonight that you can go out there, do whatever you want to do, and live the way you want to live, and everything will be all right. We have got some examples in this house tonight of living proof that when you backslide, the devil don't just let you go back to this point or that point, but he will take you to the depths of sin. He'll bind you. He'll blind you. And you'll find yourself grinding at the wheels of sin. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, the Bible said it walks in dry places. Listen, you can ignore that scripture if you want, but it's in your Bible, and Jesus Christ made it clear that when that unclean spirit goes out, it walks in dry places looking for rest. And when it doesn't find any rest, it comes back. And when it finds that house swept, garnished, and clean, and yet it's empty, he goes out and gets seven more worse than himself, and he re-inhabits that house. And the last state is worse than the first. It's a dangerous thing to take a clean house. Oh, glory to God. It's a dangerous thing to take a house that the Holy Ghost has lived in, that the Holy Ghost has swept, that the Holy Ghost has garnished, and take it out there to the world and say, I want to be like other people. This is too hard living for God. This is too hard living for God. This is too much. No. I'll tell you why it's not too much. Because when you're a Daniel and you've decided, I am not going to be like other men. I'm going to be one with faith and trust and confidence. And I am not going to violate my relationship with God. Even though I'm down in Babylon, I don't have a preacher here and I don't have a choir here. I don't have a musical instrument here, and I got no songbook here, but I tell you what I do have. I got a relationship with God, and I'm not going to let that relationship with God dry up. Come on now. Every time, even though they said, we're gonna kill him, he went back to that window that was open towards Jerusalem. Glory to God, they kept right on praying. Even whenever he was threatened with death, when he was threatened with the lion's den, he went right back to that window three times a day that was open towards Jerusalem and said, God, I love you. I love you. Others may be bending and others may be bowing and others may be giving up, but I'm not giving up. You are my God. And I'm going to tell you what happened, because he made up his mind. I'm not going to be like anybody else. When he got in the lion's den, the Lord preserved his life.
When
when those three Hebrew boys, hey man, when they heard the sound of the trumpet, they didn't even have to ask one another, what are you going to do? They already knew what they were going to do. When the sound of the trumpet began to be blown and everything else, the Bible said they stood. They refused to bow down. Do you know why they knew it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that wasn't bowing? Because they were the only ones that were not bowing when everybody else was giving up. I'm going to tell you, friend, here, I don't believe it's going to happen, but just let me preach the way I feel tonight. If ever a young person and teenager backslid in this church, that doesn't mean you got to backslide. It doesn't mean you got to walk out on God. You can stand alone if necessary and be different. Be different. I'm going to tell you, friend, I refuse to be like anybody else. I refuse to live like anybody else. I refuse to live like this world and do what the world wants me to do. Hallelujah. I'm almost through. When the pressure was put on, the real truth came out of his heart. I'll be like any other man. He already counted the cost. He already knew what was going to happen. I'll be like any other man. That's why when she pressed him unto death, that he said, just cut my hair. Take away my devotion. Take away my consecration. Take away the visible external appearance of my separation unto God. Huh? Take away the visible external appearance of my separation unto God. And he said, I'll be just like everybody else. Cut my hair off. And I'll be like every other man. Samson, did you entertain that? Was that really a secret desire in your heart? You got tired of your consecration? You got tired of worship? You got tired of praise? You got tired of going to church? You got tired of living for God? You got tired of what it takes to be separated unto the Lord? Jesus said, if any man, somebody say any man. He said, if any man, that means if you got a crowd of everybody out here and it's all any other man, everybody's out here. He said, if any man will follow me, amen. That means if you leave the any man group and you become part of those that's followers of Jesus Christ. You're no longer just any man. Hallelujah. Come on now. I said, you're no longer just any man. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. When you leave the any man group, you can be a part of that any man group if you want, friend, but I have no desire to join that crowd. I got no desire to join that group. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Get ready. There's a cross involved in this. There is a cross. There is a cross of separation. There is a cross that calls sometimes for suffering. But you got to make up in your mind, I'm not going to be part of the any man crowd. I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'll bear the cross. I'll bear the cross. I'll bear the shame of the cross. I know the world don't understand my separation. The world don't understand why I live for God the way I do. The world doesn't understand the price I pay. And they don't understand why I take the mockery and the making, being made fun of and everything else. But you see, I made my mind up. Hallelujah. I made my mind up. There's a heaven waiting for me, I know. If it costs much money, I could not afford to go. But whosoever will is welcome, you see. And I've got a feeling it might as well me. It might as well be me who walks on streets of gold to live in that city where we'll never grow old. inherit a mansion. But you can't inherit a mansion if you're just going to be any other man. Come on. You can't walk on streets of gold if you're going to be any other person. I want to tell you something, church. It doesn't matter who it is, preacher or saint, when you get tired of your consecration, something in your heart is going to say, why don't I just be like any other man? Come on, saints. Sister Bass and I are working with a family right now. And it grieves me to have to say this. We are working with a family right now with a wife whose husband got up on a Sunday morning and he resigned his church. He went home and packed his bags and he walked out of a marriage of many years. And he told his son, he said, son, I just want to go out and I want to do everything that I preached against. He said, son, oh God, I'm tired. How long has this been going on? Oh, 6 months, a year. And I knew I couldn't keep on because I wanted a television and I wanted to go to football games. And I knew I couldn't preach and do all of that. I knew I couldn't pastor. Now, Sister Bass and I are trying to shepherd and help a family, a wife who's grieving, a man that's walked out, left. You say, a preacher? Oh, yeah, because I'm going to tell you something. I don't care who you are when you get tired of paying the price. Somebody help me now, just for a few more minutes. I'm almost finished. But when you get tired of paying the price, I'll tell you what you start doing. You start looking around. You start saying, boy, I'd like to just be like everybody else. I just like to be like everybody else. I just like to be I'd like to be what everybody else is. Paul said, a dispensation of the gospel is committed to me. And he said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Can I tell you that there's days that I'd like to just say, you know what? It'd be nice just to be a saint. Just to come and sit and listen to the preacher preach. Let somebody else do all the work. Let somebody else carry the load. Let somebody else pay the price. But you see, I made my mind up. I'm not going to be like any other man. I realize I've been called to do a work for God. I'm willing to pay the price. Boy, I feel Holy Ghost in this house. I feel conviction in this place right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody in this house here tonight, as a matter of fact, I could call several names right now because I'm your shepherd. I know where you are. I know what you've been thinking. I know what your mind is on. I could call several names in this house tonight and I could say to you, you need to be in this altar praying right now. But you see, that would really not benefit anything. Because you see, you might just do what I tell you to do, but that's not what it needs to happen. What needs to happen tonight is you need to stand up and say, you know what? That's where I am tonight. I've been looking at the wrong people. I'll tell you what I'm going to do by walking down to the altar. I'm going to come up there and I'm going to say, Lord, I just want you to know I've been thinking the wrong things. I've been feeling the wrong things. I've been weary with the journey. I've been struggling with some things, but I come back to tell you my mind is made up. I am not going to defile myself with the world. I refuse to be like any other man. I refuse to surrender my consecration. I refuse to surrender my relationship. I refuse to surrender my walk with God. I refuse to surrender. I will pay the price, whatever it takes. Church, I believe we ought to be praying right now. I tell you tonight in the Holy Ghost, I got a bunch of other scriptures, but I don't feel like getting into them tonight.
I could read a lot of scriptures about any man. Any man. If any man thirst, let him come and drink. If any man follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me. If any man, on and on and on through scripture. Go and read it over and over and over again. Any man, any man, any man. But the point in every one of those any man statements is simply the fact that you've got to leave the any man crowd. And you've got to become one who makes a vow to be separated unto the Lord. Hallelujah. There is a holy touch of God in this place. There's a mighty, mighty drawing of His Spirit. The Lord doesn't want to leave you behind tonight. That's why He's given you a chance to get out of Delilah's lap. That's why He's given you a chance tonight to stand up and say, I don't belong where I am. I'm in the wrong place. I'm talking about the wrong things. I don't want to use that term, I have been. I want to use the term that says I am. I am. I am. Not I used to be. Not I once was. Not I have been. But I am right now. I'm a child of God. I'm a part of the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, this altar is open right now. Somebody ought to be in this altar praying. There needs to be several people in this altar tonight reaching out to God saying, this is not, I'm not going that route, Pastor. I'm not going to go. You've identified the problem. You've identified something going on in my heart. And I just want you to know I'm coming out of that place. I'm leaving Delilah's house tonight. I'm leaving Delilah's house tonight. I'm leaving the attraction of the world. I'm leaving behind me the attraction of sin. And I'm going to find myself a place to pray. And I'm going to let the Lord know I'm renewing my vow tonight. And I'm going to say, God, here I am. I'm back again. And I want you to know I love you. And I'm not leaving you. I'm going to live for you. My heart is desirous to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Church, I need to feel tonight that you're carrying the load, carrying the burden. There's souls tonight that's hanging in the balance. There's people tonight in this place that are hanging in the balance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want us to stand right now all over this house. I feel like the Holy Ghost is reaching for somebody in this place. The Spirit of the Lord is reaching for somebody in this place. Amen, God. You know, He got to shut out of my eye. Oh, God, you can do it, Jesus. Church, the Holy Ghost is drawing. The Holy Ghost is doing a work here tonight. The Holy Ghost is doing a work. The Spirit of God is... Come on, there needs to be some more response here tonight. Some more response. Somebody needs to say...